2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to Rivals. Rivals has arrived, and now we are going down a dark hole that no male has ever come back from, ever seen again.
Yeah, that's like guy talk, man. You got
what
all
you
these,
got, Jason?
You know what? It's like guy talk, right? I mean, you got all these woman shows on daytime television, and you know, it's five women on the board or whatever, and all the gals are in the audience, and women are just talking women stuff,
you know. And you listen to those shows,
no,
and it's like you are listening to someone speak Japanese,
yeah,
or Chinese.
Different language.
I don't understand a word you're saying,
but they're all into it, and I'm like, all right, you know what, the guys, we deserve our own deal. So it's time for Scott and Jason to kind of get down deep into the emotional side of our male egos in a macho way.
Are we gonna
get
our
feelings
pedicures and get our nails done?
No, we just, you know,
get to shave your beard off again.
The little side things, you know, we might catch some fish and rip out some guts and do some stuff like that while we talk about our emotions.
Okay,
so we'll do it the Viking way.
So what do you have for us here,
but
Jason?
For here, when you let Jason go with my creative juices, I was perusing, great word, huh? I was perusing KSL.com feature articles the other night, just looking for some things for you and I to talk about.
And I
came across the 5 tips to better balance your marriage and parenting responsibilities.
There's only 5?
Well, you and I both know. So we're talking to old men here now, right? We're, you know, 50 plus, and I got 7 grandchildren. So, yeah, I've been through the ringer, man. So I got life's experience. So I was interested in reading the article and see what they said. And I've been married 34 years. So I thought, you know what? I will look this over and look for some good tips. And, you know, I thought we could talk about what they're doing here in the article for the first, you know, few minutes. And then our second segment, you know, go back over to our experience in our life.
So you've been married 34 years.
34, man.
And
to my high school sweetheart.
So let's see here. You're how old? 54?
I'm 54. I got married when I was 19.
64, 69, you'll be 50 years?
Yeah. I was 19 and my wife was 18 when we got married.
Wow.
And her parents, you know, school teachers up in St. Anthony, just had a heart attack. But I knew the direction I wanted to go, and we were in love. And, you know, I met her when she was a sophomore and I was a senior, and we went steady and never separated. And we've had 34 great years together. And not that, you know, I think every marriage has its own, you know, rocky times. I mean, believe me, we've had our disagreements, and I spent a few nights out on the couch in my life, you know, just wondering what on earth is going through my wife's head.
Wait, you don't sleep on the couch normally?
No.
Oh.
No.
So that's a bad thing. If you're sleeping on the couch every night, that's bad.
That's bad.
Okay.
That's bad.
Right.
That's a bad sign.
Okay.
Things, you know, and she's not talking to you for days on end, and you're like, what did I do wrong? And you're trying to figure it out. But, you know, I think we all go through those moments in our life as men, you know, and you know, I'm not the guy that could watch the football game like on the commercial and his wife, you know, runs back and forth in front of him in a negligee and he just keeps watching the football game. I'm the guy that I turn off the football game and I chase my wife. She wins that battle.
Wait, there's women that run in front of their husbands in a negligee while they're watching football?
Yeah, to get them to stop watching football.
Oh.
You see the commercials. I mean, you know, it's the joke that you see happen. I'm like, dude, why isn't that guy turning off the game and chasing his wife when you get that opportunity, right? I guess that's why I'm married 34 years.
Exactly.
But, you know, number one, they talk about never neglect your identity as a couple. And I thought that was a good point. I think it follows along with my life. It talks about couples who throw themselves into their role of parenting and stop paying attention to each other.
Do you think that's more for women than men? Because women are very nurturing and they, yeah. I see that more.
I think it's probably a bigger problem for the female gender to start ignoring their husband when during those child nurturing years.
There's an effort about we go on date nights, we spend time together.
Yeah.
And sometimes that means that, hey, the kids might come second here.
It takes some effort, right? You got to be able to, and our sweethearts tend to be, like you said, very nurturing, and that becomes their 100% focus. And sometimes they forget their husband. Sometimes.
So I had an experience. My daughter Madison, and so Wendy and I are our first child, Madison. She was just a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And she put her in her crib. And I said, and she started to cry. I said, let her cry.
Yeah.
She'll be okay. No, she won't. No, she won't. She will not be okay. She will not be okay. No. It's all right. Just let her cry. She's going to throw up. You can tell she's upset. I said, no, just give her a few minutes. So we're outside the door, and I'm like barricading her out of the room so she won't run in there. Cause she's like, my daughter's crying. I've got to come to her aid. And I'm like, relax. It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, 2 seconds later, Madison throws up all over the place, and it's like, and she barges, and she's like, I told you. She was upset. She was going to throw up.
How old was Madison at the time?
Yeah, she was really young. Probably within 6 months, maybe
okay.
A year.
All right.
But it was kind of one of those things that nurturing mother, and you gotta have that separation between your kids.
Oh yeah. No, so. You have to still take care of each other. I had a funny story. My sister-in-law that I'm super close to, her daughter was like 5, 6, 7 years old and knew how to just work her mom. And she would force herself. We'd be going on a date with the parents, just date night, right? And leave the kids home, and they have a babysitter. And I mean, she might have been closer to 8 years old at the time, her oldest daughter. And she could puke on demand. And she would act sick because her mom was gone and throw up. And then the babysitter's calling. And then Trish, my sister-in-law, is like, all of a sudden she's bawling at the dinner table of a restaurant. She's like, I gotta go take care of my baby. And we're like, I'm like, let her throw up. She's just doing it to work you over. So I think in our talk today, we definitely got to take the dude's role because we're all frustrated because, we're getting beat up on by media and politically correct, and women are getting the best of us. So I got to take a little bit of the masculine side in the argument here. But that was, yeah, she really worked her, man. She's like puke on demand daughter. And she's awesome. She's like 30 years old and a mother of 4 now, that little puker. And she's an awesome mom. But they know how to work this,
so
right?
Does she have kids that puke on demand now?
No, she was good at it. And she'll listen to this show and she'll be like, Uncle Jason, that was terrible. But I didn't say your name, Tosh. And she's a sweetheart. Like I said, with 4 kids of her own now. But, I think when we're getting ready to go into the next segment, we'll hit these points. Like in between date nights, do the 20-minute connection. That's all part of keeping that relationship with each other, where people end up after 30 years of marriage and their kids are raised and they don't even know each other anymore. Share the household chores. Ooh. Now that's where you got to be a mind reader. We'll touch on this one. And then look your best and let the children see your expressions of love. I like to hit on all those and, in my personal relationship and how that's worked and how my wife's figured out me too. That I keep telling her, honey, I'm not a mind reader. You're like, you think I can read your mind? You got to tell me in black and white, hey, I want you to take out the garbage now. And I'm like, oh, hey, as soon as I finish the show, I'll take out the garbage. But she's like, she's ticked at me for the rest of the night because I didn't move within 5 minutes to take out the garbage. I waited
until
the news was
time
over,
clocks,
and then I took out the garbage.
Time clocks and time management and the whole process of time is different from men and women. I understand
that. So those little nuances, right? It takes them a little while.
And so speaking of time, We got to take a break. When we come back,
we're going to come back with all the solutions.
Because we have all the solutions here.
I got some great Buck solutions to this stuff.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear them. Anyways, Rivals, we'll be back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to Rivals. If you have children that puke, it's okay. Let them puke.
Let them puke. Jason, let the babysitter clean it up.
Yes. And
don't fall to that trap.
Yeah. Don't fall into the puking child trap. So we're talking about some of the keys to a successful balance in your marriage and relationship. And yeah. Jason has found this rather insightful article. And so what else do you have for us? We've gone over puking children and keeping your identity. What's next?
Yeah. Yeah. From the sage. You know what? In between date nights, do the 20-minute connection. I think that's, you know, you're just talking about having a little time each evening together. Even if it's, you know, all the kid activities and family dinner and all that, you got it. Before it's wine, my wife and I always found time to wind down at night. And just, even if it's just lay in bed and talk for 15, 20 minutes. We always had our talk time, no matter where we were at in our marriage.
I have a friend who teaches like peak performance, and he has a rule. And his rule is the 90-second rule. And it fits in with this connection, this 20-minute connection. And that is, if you've ever been away from a significant other for an extended period of time, maybe a couple hours throughout your day, whatever, and your first 90 seconds back with them has more impact in the direction, in the connection of your relationship than at any other time. And so when you have that first 90 seconds, what is it that you're communicating to that person? And it's that I value you. You're important to me. You mean more to me than anything in the world. So the things we say and our actions in that first 90 seconds has to express what that is.
Yeah.
For example, you come home and you've had a rough day and you go, man, 20 of the worst things happened to me today. My day has been awful.
Yeah.
And now I got to come home to this kind of thing. And that's where it doesn't work, you know. And
it's like,
hey, I have had the worst day of my entire life. I have had 20 things happen to me today that were just awful. But when I walked in this door and I saw you, it could have been 100 things.
Yeah.
Because my life has meaning and purpose, and you're the best thing that I've seen today and at any time. And so it's having that kind of connection or that interaction. And what it is it's spending time away from maybe yourself and just saying, hey, you're important to me. And so I really like this 20-minute connection idea.
Oh, I do too. You know, and you look at it I look at another key point in here, and it's number 5, and they talk about let the children see your expressions of love. You know, we grew up with the World War II type parents, right? My dad was born in 1933 and is an awesome man. And him, I just remember my mom and my dad, I can't remember only a couple times in my entire life I saw them show affection towards each other in front of me. Like a kiss and a big hug and just express things. Cause it was always that generation that was, you know, you just understand it's unspoken. It's going to be very private. Maybe, you know, you never got to go in your parents' bedroom back in the day. I mean, and my wife, I talked to my wife and it was the same thing. She never saw her parents, you know, hardly ever kiss in her life and show expressions of love and openly and outwardly, and is more unspoken in that generation. And I just swore to myself that I was going to have the best marriage in the world. And I was going to express those things. And Roxy will tell you, there's not been a day in our 34 years of marriage or since she's known me that I haven't told her that she's the most beautiful thing in the world.
So when you swore, which swear word was it?
I swore the oath.
Oh, it was an oath.
It was an oath.
Right.
I swore to myself the oath that I would always make it the greatest, you know, and I tell her every day, you know, and I always express the thank yous and the, you mean so much to me. And I've always been very verbal. And a matter of fact, I set that standard in the home. And she'll tell you, she learned to be more verbal through me because she was not the verbal one.
You know, my parents were interesting because my dad is the oldest of 8 children, and his family grew up very affectionate. There was a lot of hugs and kisses, and there was always this expression. My mom, on the other hand, didn't.
Yeah.
And so it was very, she was taken aback when, you know, my dad's sisters, you know, came up to her and gave her a big hug and all, you know, it was just really awkward. We'd have all these family get-togethers growing up. And all my, you know, and so you'd have a Christmas party and then you get a gift. And of course, my parents are like, go hug your cousin, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I don't want to die. Oh, no. And I used to dread it, you know, because all this hugging going on and all this stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah. So, yeah. It's like a buck reunion. It's a giant hug fest. Yeah.
I think one of the things about these expressions of love is there's this willingness to say that I love you kind of as part of that expression. And there's always this feeling that, like, I don't ever want to regret not saying that, you know, whether you go to bed at night or you leave the house or whenever it is, and just having that actual, you know, hey, I love you kind of thing when you're on your way.
Well, I'll tell you, another thing is just losing my, you know, older brother in that tragic car accident. And, you know, you lose a couple loved ones in your life, and, you know, especially the tragic incidences, like somebody real young like that. And I think it changes you. You know, I mean, I've always wanted to, when I say goodbye to somebody, I honestly, maybe there's a fear inside of me that might be the last time I see them. And so I'm very affectionate to my children and my wife. When I say goodbye, I'm like, I love you, you know, and I want them to hear that just in case, because you just never know. And, you know, I'm a communicator, and I think that's a big, you know, big part of this is, you know, just to always communicate and to express your love and to, you know, and be loyal. I tell kids that are getting married, you know, be loyal, be committed, forgive, be ready to forgive the faults, never be a fault finder, you know, in a marriage, because you can easily pick people apart and be a fault finder, but you go nowhere with it. And just like with that loyalty and forgiveness, you're able to overcome, you know, the obstacles in your life, because you go through hard times together, financial, you know, health, hardships, and, you know, and to weather that storm, you've got to be absolutely committed and loyal to each other, and then be willing to forgive people their faults and flaws, because we all end up getting hurt at one time or another, you know?
Yeah. There's an interesting, this one tip is look your best.
Yeah,
and I
are both sexy. We win that one.
Well,
we win that one.
You know, and I
tell my wife
I've gained some weight, and I don't look my best, and I think
you look great, buddy.
Well, yeah, but you have to say that. So, you've been trained well.
I've been trained well.
Yeah. See, and I look at that and I go, "You're mocking me now, right?"
No.
I was doing that
because you know what all the guys in the NFL locker room would say to us right now. Because I just said, "Scott, man, dude, I think you look great." They'd just be ripping us right now.
Yeah. So, but in all seriousness, there's this, and I was having, I can't tell you whose name it is because people would know. It's someone here at Bonneville. And we were having this very discussion about, he goes, "I was really kind of fat when I got married, and my wife is skinny." And so they look at me and my wife, and they're like, they can't figure it out, you know, or they're kind of like, "Hey, good for you, buddy. You know, you kind of outdid yourself here, you know." And he goes, and so I'm thinking, well, I outdid myself. Well, what does my wife think? You know, I married, you know.
Yeah, did she marry down? Married,
you know, Bozo the Clown here kind of thing, you know.
Right.
And it really kind of is bothering him. And he's like, you know, I want to do something about this kind of thing. But it is this, you know, to be your best in a relationship, to be your best in life, you know, you got to be at your best. You got to look your best. And it really is.
I think we owe that to each other.
Yeah, because.
Husband and wife.
My mom, for the last 6 years of my dad's life, she did everything for him. Yeah. And it was really unfair to him. And it literally about killed my mother, because she was
physically, it was just
physically about killed her. Yeah, because I mean, she was doing everything. She was doing the showering, the shaving, you know, cleaning up after whatever, and it was not a fun thing. And then he had other health issues that she was helping him with, and it was really taxing on her. And so I realized that, you know, there are illnesses and there are things that happen just by the nature of life, but we really need to give ourselves the best opportunity to be at our best in our relationships.
I think absolutely. And when you love each other and are completely committed, completely loyal, never fault find, and you're forgiving of each other, you know, you're just all in, knowing that if you give it all you got and your spouse gives it all they got, you know, and you'll have a successful marriage and overcome the hard times. That's when you do. You try to look the best for each other. I try to help her cook, you know, in any way I can. She's an awesome cook, my wife. I'm in charge of the grill, and I help with cleanup afterwards, you know, because she works so hard for us to have a great meal on the table every day. And, you know, just I think when you're being more selfless, it's the formula for success in marriage and with your, you know, husband and wife and children.
Yeah, I agree. The greatest joys in our life is when we serve other people. And yeah, if we really want to have joy in our relationships, it's about serving our other partner and companion. So we have to go for now. The Rivals has arrived, and now we're headed off to have better.
Whoever would have thought your marriage life and family life would be improved by Scott and Jason, not just sports.
You know, when I woke up this morning, I didn't think that, but now going to bed, I know that it's true.
I told you we'd blow you away on Rivals.
Text Rivals 65537 if you want to check us out. We'll see you.